Dean Acaster on Fubar Radio.
My guest today is Paul Kassar. Hello, Paul.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. Bit flustered. Don't know where my mics are, so...
No, well, I mean, we're sitting here and there's about six of them around us, so...
Okay, well, we're going to do the first track of the show. Delve into my iPod and we'll see if this... hopefully... I always hope that this is an embarrassing one because it'll make the guest feel
more at ease. Just make me feel better about it.
About everything. Let's see what we got. Here we go. Yep. This is pretty embarrassing. This is Sunburned Hand of the Man, Camel Backwards.
Camel Backwards?
I mean, we'll see how long this lasts. My God, that was Sunburned Hand of the Man. Have you ever, Paul, bought an album just because you liked the cover and then put it on your iPod and then it gets played in a radio show? That's what just happened to me.
No, that was a good example of it.
A great example.
Got a music for serial killers.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I haven't got a massive amount against that song really, but I mean, it's the kind of song definitely that when I started this show I was like, well, I hope that Sunburned Hand of the Man album doesn't pop up at any point,
because
that was mainly because I like the name, really.
I
like Sunburned Hand of the Man. Is a funny
Sunburned Hand of the Man
name for a band. That's good.
That's very cool.
So yeah, I'll get that. And then I remember getting home and being like, oh, it's that. But I just put everything on my iPod. Because at some point I might get into
it. You have to yeah, just be ruthless, put everything on there. And yeah,
that was that album was from... I bought that on what at the time was one of the best days of my life.
Okay.
I went to... Me and my girlfriend at the time went to London.
Right.
We had a very short-lived... We had this really, like, short window of a relationship that was, like, both convinced we were fully in love with each other. Looking back, we were not, Paul.
Right.
But at the time, it was like, this is... We lived in Northampton, kind of thing. So one day we were like, let's just go to London.
Yeah.
I just decided... I mean, I haven't really been to London before. And just the whole day, just going sightseeing. I remember just going to this record shop. It'd be like, I've got to buy an album to remember the day by.
Sure.
And it's that.
Wow. Says it all, really.
That is the album that if I wanted to remember that day in my life, I'd have to listen to that. Which
was so we've just opened all those wounds there.
Yeah. It's come up and gone. No, that's why the relationship didn't work. That absolutely was an omen, that album.
Insistence on playing that album over and over again.
Yeah, just listen to it all the way home.
Killed it.
All the way home, listening to that album. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've played that album seven tracks of that as well.
I was just getting into it there, to be fair, though. I was quite enjoying it, yeah.
The rhythm started to kick in at the end there.
It did. I was starting to feel it. It kind of reminded me of Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Iggy Pop puts a bit more effort in, I'd say.
It depends what day you get.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. To be honest, to be fair, I'm giving him a bit too much credit there.
I saw him at the Isle of Wight a couple of years ago, and he was absolutely amazing, kind of staggered on, played this incredible set. And as he left the stage, like literally a minute later, he just ran back on, totally infused, and just screamed out, "Fuck you!" and then just walked off. It was amazing. The whole audience was just an absolute shock. It was like, where did that come from?
Fuck yeah, well, fuck you.
Fuck you! Cheers, Zeke.
One of the things I really love is people saying fuck you to, yeah. to a group of people or anyone or just one person.
Just really,
it's really funny.
Yeah, obviously really upsetting.
That's a little delve into your eye, but I think it's time now. I think I'm going to play one track. I'd say you've already won.
Right, let's try it.
So let's see what happens. Here we go. Track one. Here we go. Oh, hold on a second. Here we go. Oh, there you go.
I forgot.
Highs achieved.
Oh, that'll do.
Yeah. Since every day I love you less and less and less and less. I know I feel it in my bones. I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm staying in control. Oh, yes. Since every day I love you less and less and less. Every Day I Love You Less and Less by the Kaiser Chiefs, which is, you know, probably the name song, because that's probably how their fans have felt about them.
Yeah.
since they started.
First album.
Yeah, yeah. Their first album was massive.
Mm.
And then I think, isn't it like, actually, like, historically, their second album was the biggest drop off in terms of sales or something like that?
Oh, really? Wow.
I've read an article about it where, like, they sold so much that first one, and that second one was such a massive drop.
Just absolutely bombed.
Yeah,
second
it was
album
like,
syndrome.
Yeah.
Wow.
But huge. I think it's more of an issue now because, like, bands get built up so much to be, like, the band, you know, the flavour of the month.
Yeah, and I guess there's so much pressure on the second album as well, isn't it? It's, you know, if you sort of introduce the world with your first album, you've probably had years to get it right.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you explode, and then it's you've got a tiny window to bring out the second album and catch the sales, I guess. So,
yeah
I've often read that a lot of bands feel rushed when it comes to that second album.
They should not spend long on the first album, that's my opinion.
No, absolutely, I have the second one in reserve.
Yeah, that first
get
one,
on with it.
Just write the first one in a few months
exactly.
and release that.
Exactly.
There's a lot of bands on that point. Magic Numbers, I remember, that first album. And then the second one, they were like, they did an interview with him and he went, yeah, it's crazy because, you know, I spent so long on that first one and this second one, I love it. And, you know, I just wrote it in the back of a bus.
Brilliant. I'll pay attention for that.
But no one's buying it. I stole their rider, Magic Numbers.
Did you?
Yeah, I stole their rider at a gig. Loads of magic stars, Milky Way magic stars.
Right.
Stuff like that. It's because I was told not to, really strictly by a bouncer. So I was like, well, I'm going to nick them.
We just set the challenge, didn't they?
Yeah, had a lot of chocolate, a lot of really nice...
A lot of chocolate.
Nice treats, the Magic Numbers.
Did they?
Do you remember when they refused to play on Top of the Pops?
No.
Because they were there, all ready to go, and whoever was introducing them made a joke about them all being fat.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so something like...
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, you know, two fat ladies, 88, or something like that. You know, what was it? Richard Bacon. Amanda says. Richard Bacon. He called them a big fat talent. There you go. Two Fat Ladies 88, which is my joke that I would do about the Magic Numbers. At least it involves numbers, you know.
Exactly, much funnier.
There you go, Richard Bacon, often the centre of controversy.
He is, yeah. Just can't help himself, can he?
And then they just didn't play. They went, forget it.
I thought it was because somebody had nicked their chocolate. I thought it was down to you again.
Because there was me stuffing my face like Hansel and Gretel in backstage.
So James Acaster there with chocolate around the chops.
Yeah, loving it. They refused to go on because they're Milky Way magic stars and not where they left them. I love a bit of Bacon control. Also, I love Bacon. He wound up Psychic Sally. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Psychic Sally. What are your views on mediums and psychics?
It's generally a lot of bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if I redeem myself now, basically. Here we go. Next track from my iPod. Oh, that's another film one. It's from Drive.
Okay.
It's Under Your Spell by Desire.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Desire. That's two films from soundtracks we've had already. I think that's what I think every time we have an actor in, it conjures up the.
Yeah. That's Sally at work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Conjuring up these film soundtracks.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Exactly what she's doing.
She's tuned into us.
Did you enjoy Drive?
I did, yeah. A gorgeous looking film and, yeah, quite simple. I think that's the trick of that. Simplicity of it.
What do you think of, also, I've realised that both soundtracks... here's a bit of geeky thing I want to say now. But both of the... Inside Llewyn Davis and Drive both star Oscar Isaac. So there you go.
Connection.
He's in both of them. If we can get another... I've not got any more songs that I think he appears in the films on my iPod.
Right, okay. We'll have to get him in next week.
Who knows? Oscar Isaac can be the next guest. Yeah. Just talk to him.
Yeah.
Don't see why not. Talk about Deus Ex Machina. Good film. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't, no.
Lots of debates about it, about if it's feminist or not.
Sure.
Because I think the director claimed it was.
Okay. How did you feel?
I went in not knowing any of that, that there was any debates about it whatsoever. And I just thought it was a good film.
Right.
Because basically, I think one of the criticisms levelled at it is that there's like two men, two women in the film.
Right.
And the women are, you know, getting naked and stuff,
sure.
And the men are not. But then the women are robots that have been invented by a man who is a misogynist.
Right, okay.
So I think it's meant to be like, he is a bad...
Yeah.
This is why it's not good. And this is what... If a misogynistic asshole guy
makes
a robot, he's going to make it a sexy lady that gets naked for him.
Yeah.
And this is why men aren't good, you know. So, like, I felt like, it's fine. But then also, there's a lot of. I mean, I can't really say much more about giving away the plot. But there's some stuff like the personality that the main female robot has. It's like, oh, this is how we're meant to see women, is it?
Right.
But again, it's the personality that's been programmed into her by the misogynist.
Sure. So again, it's working on that level.
Yeah, yeah, and he doesn't come off good in it.
It doesn't
either. So, like, it's a thing you kind of go,
Interesting choice.
Track two from yours now.
Right.
There's not much that can go wrong here.
I don't know. I'm preparing myself for a fall here. That.
But let's see. Here we go. Paul Cassar's iPod. Track two. Let's see. It's another cool band's Block Party.
Oh, go on. I love that.
It's Golden Era. Party plans from Silent Alarm. Paul, you're absolutely on a winning streak here.
I'm feeling quite cocky.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's had like just two very also from the same era.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can sort of start to get an idea of my musical tastes, I guess.
Yeah, I remember when that first came around. I didn't buy any of it.
Sure,
because I was like, oh, everyone's into this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to Sunburned Hand of the Man.
Wow,
But I was like, oh, I don't want to buy that. So I didn't listen to any of it, and it's only recently, like I think in January, I bought that album. That Block Party.
I guess that's the beauty of music, isn't it? You can sort of go back and discover it anytime.
Yeah, and there's things that you're behind on. There's some bands that are too. I think their back catalogue is so, like Block Party, you can just go, I'll get that first album,
sure.
And I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
There's some bands that are so intimidating, so their back catalogue is like, where? Like Radiohead.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
James Acaster on Fubar Radio.
We're going to be putting our iPods on shuffle. Matthew Crosby and I. Matthew Crosby, hello.
Hello.
As usual, I'll go first,
to
take the first plunge. So here we go. Oh. Saint Pepsi.
Saint Pepsi?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. St. Pepsi, I said there, like it was a proper...
like the tube station.
Yeah, like it was a tube.
King's Cross St. Pepsi.
King's Cross St. Pepsi.
That was, we were really entering the chill-out zone there, weren't we?
I mean, we started out... and that album, I was saying to you, that album is really upbeat. Like, it's really cheesy dance tunes all the way and, like, a really fun album. And that is the one song.
That's your cool down afterwards.
That is the one song that's just, like...
Is it mid-album or is it at the end? Does it end?
Yeah, I think that's, like, track 7.
Really?
You know, like, after a bit... Maybe before an interlude. There's a little interlude, I remember, that's, like, just some vocal... It's a sample clearly off a film. Oh, here we go. You will probably know this, so okay, I can run it by you.
Let's give it a go.
So, it's... Now, I thought the dialogue sounded it was from a... Like it was from a Woody Allen film or something, but it might not be.
Okay.
But someone, and they're clearly shopping for engagement rings for their girlfriend with her. And it's like this one, I love this one.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. And actually, do you know what? I could just find
Let's find it and we'll
I'll
see
find
if
it
can...
on my iPod.
I'm trying to think of what Woody Allen film would have shopping for engagement rings.
Yeah. I don't know if
everyone says I love you, maybe. Might be.
I haven't heard of that one. He does a film every year, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And some of them are fine. And some of them are awful, but very few of them are sort of the classic 70s Woody Allen. Very few of them are Annie Hall. I mean, one of them is Annie Hall.
One of them definitely was Annie Hall.
Yeah, one of them is definitely Annie Hall.
We can't deny
that. Manhattan is very nearly Annie Hall, but it's not.
I've not seen Manhattan.
Oh, it's a corker.
I've seen Annie Hall a number of times, but not ever seen Manhattan.
So. Annie Hall, sitcom fans, was the inspiration behind Peep Show.
Was it?
The scene where they've got the subtitles at the bottom, that's what Jesse and Sam saw and thought, yeah, we could do that, but a sitcom.
Ah.
So we go bringing it back
Matthew
to sitcoms.
Cosby knows everything about sitcoms.
So that's a show I'm pitching to FUBAR Radio.
Just called that.
Just me talking about sitcoms.
Welcome to Matthew Cosby Knows Everything About Sitcoms. Today, ask me about sitcoms. Imagine if every week you did a show where you got interviewed. So that the guest was always the person interviewing you.
That's a great
and
idea.
And it was always on you. Amanda, that's a new show idea. Please write that down.
Got a thumbs up there.
New show idea is that the same person gets interviewed every week.
That's a great idea.
And it'd just be called The Matthew Cosby Show.
I mean, in many ways, that is the Comedian's Comedian podcast, isn't it? Because effectively, Stu is asking them to interview him. That's kind of it, isn't it? You learn more about Stu as the weeks go on than you do about the acts.
You do learn a lot about him. And everyone listens to the Comedian's Comedian podcast.
It's a cracking podcast.
Matthew and myself were interviewed on it. Or we interview Stu, depending on
how you take it. I've realised now that my Edinburgh procrastination is listening to... Like, I feel like I'm doing work.
Yeah.
If I listen to John Gordillo being interviewed, that's kind of the same as writing material, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Because I'll feel inspired.
I'll feel inspired.
It's like I've been watching Chef's Table on Netflix, documentary series about chefs, and it's kind of like that, because that is quite inspiring about how creative they are with their dishes and stuff like that, and how they really... It's all about how they struggle to get where they are, and more about the chefs and the food. And you do watch it and you come out going, I really like that line about how you've just got to keep on pushing yourself. But in the meantime, all I've done all day is watch documentaries and not done anything.
Well, it seems, it's like, if I watch stuff on Netflix, as opposed to like just, you know, dicking around on the internet, I feel like I'm being productive.
Yeah.
That's a modern thing.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Stuff like, oh, I'll tell you what is getting me annoyed at the minute.
What's that?
Have you seen these adverts on the tube for Mubi, it's called? MUBI?
Yes, I've seen those adverts.
Furious about them.
Why?
What kind of an idiot? For those of you who haven't seen the advert,
they pick a movie for you.
They pick a movie every day.
Yeah.
And it's there for 30 days and then it goes.
Yeah.
And you pay £5 a month
to have a bespoke movie recommended to you by the experts.
Awful. Awful. Netflix has so many movies on it.
I know, it is bad. And actually,
and they don't disappear after 30 days. And it's only like a couple of quid extra than this movie thing. And also, on the posters, it's all like, the films they're doing is like Old Boy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've seen Old Boy, and it's on Netflix, actually.
Yeah.
Amelie. It's like, that's not...
You're not... Yeah. It's a bit like when you went...
Donnie Darko or something. Like that. Everyone knows that they're, like, interesting films.
Well, it's like the first week of university where you would meet someone who'd go, yeah, I'm actually into music you haven't heard of. I like Jeff Buckley. Everyone likes Jeff Buckley, mate. Yeah. Get over yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have been the interesting guy at your school who liked Jeff Buckley, but everyone likes him.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're like. They're going, hey, have you watched Amelie? Yeah, everyone watched Amelie.
Yeah, well, that big, massive studio release.
Yeah, we all saw that.
Of course we did.
So so that's annoying. There's no one signed up to it. I'm sure they're a bunch of nice small-time businessmen. Don't maybe.
Yeah, just have a friend.
Yeah.
Talk to a friend and say, what have you seen recently that you've enjoyed?
Yeah.
Get them to recommend it.
Watch that and don't have it for just 30 days. That's the thing. It's only for 30 days. For $5.99, you can just buy a DVD.
Yeah, but you couldn't buy 30 DVDs, which is effectively what they're doing.
You couldn't buy 30 DVDs, that's right. But
I mean, who's honestly watching 30 films a month?
Who's going to watch a film every day?
I'm not a shut-in.
No.
I've got a life.
Yeah, as we've already discussed about how much you listen to Comedian's Comedian. Here's the Sent Pepsi track,
okay,
and we'll see if
let's go for it.
It swings any bells. Here we go. It's called Interlude, which is a good name, isn't it? Interlude. Here we go.
Simple but elegant,
exactly.
Nice. Like this one.
Oh my god, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
Hello.
So what is that gonna cost me? I like it.
$55,000.
$55,000, you said. Well, let me take this off then, because I don't think it's actually, as I look at it, it's really to Skylar's taste. It's kind of tacky. I mean, she's not a mafia bride. Will you help me out?
Well, he is a lovely one. I think I got it. I think it is Everyone Says I Love You.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
What is that going to cost me?
Is that Edward Norton speaking there?
$8,000. Oh, it might be, actually.
If it's Edward Norton, I think it is Everyone Says I Love You.
That sounds like Norton, doesn't it?
Well,
but it sounds like Norton doing a Woody Allen impression.
Yeah, because every lead character in Woody Allen movie has to basically do an impression of him. I reckon 95% certain that's Everyone Says I Love You. We can Google it in a second.
That does sound about right. That sounds like Ed Norton.
I think Edward Norton. I think he's getting married to Drew Barrymore.
Lovely.
Because it was his musical. Back when musicals weren't, you know, they were obviously enjoying a resurgence now. But Woody Allen was like, no one makes musicals anymore. I'm going to make a musical, and I'm going to cast people who I like but can't necessarily sing or dance. So it's really good because like Edward Norton can't sing or dance, but does his best job doing it.
Yeah.
The only person who wouldn't sing for the film was Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
And so he dubbed her voice with someone else who couldn't sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She wouldn't sing because she thought her voice was too bad. He's like, well, I'm just going to get someone else who can't sing.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
Trivia for you.
Yes.
Not Les Miserables. Sweeney Todd, the Tim Burton
The
film.
Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Yeah. So the Tim Burton one. When they were filming it, they were all singing to their pre-recorded tracks. They'd all recorded the vocals already and they were miming along to it. Apart from one person for one song, and he went behind Tim Burton's back to sort it out as well. He went to the sound... My friend worked on the sound crew.
Really?
So this guy went round and said, don't put my song on. I'm just going to actually sing it. I'm going to properly do it. And that was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Really?
Yeah. He did he's the only one who actually sang, like, live on the set.
That's great.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Why did he do that? Why did he not want to... Because he wanted to make it...
I think he just wanted to be in it in the moment and properly do it and deliver the...
Well, it works. It works perfect because he's also in Les Mis as well,
and that's what
they did in Les Mis. They made them sing live, rather than
maybe that's why he got the part in Les Mis. Who knows?
It was his audition tape.
They were like, he already did it. He's the only one who's already done it.
He's got the skills.
He actually originated this style of
singing live.
Yeah, singing live.
I don't think he did.
Ever sung live before Cohen.
No, he was the guy. That's why he's playing Freddie Mercury in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he invented live singing.
Were you optimistic about that, Freddie Mercury?
Well, I like Queen up to a point, but I'm not...
Absolutely.
I don't think they are the band that, you know...
I don't have a sort of Kenny Everett love of Queen. You know, and he played when the day Bohemian Rhapsody came out, he played it 3 times.
Great.
Yeah, on his show. He couldn't believe it. And that's most of the show done, isn't it? Come on, Kenny Everett. It's put your finger out. But yeah, no. So I think it will be, I think, fascinating stories.
Yeah.
Dwarves with cocaine on their heads.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely horrifying, but kind of compelling.
Yeah, but it's the kind of stories you want to hear.
Yeah. And he didn't, because Sacha Baron Cohen left for a while, left the production, because he wanted to take it one way. And then the sort of the estate wanted to be a bit more sort of loving. And now he's back on. He may even be directing it now.
Really?
But I think so.
Imagine that. Sorry. You walk away from a project and then you get to run the whole thing.
This is what he does. He calls people's bluff.
Yeah. We should all be...
We should all
I
be
don't think
it would
work out for me if I call people's bluff all the time.
Yeah, I think if I walked on projects, they'd go, fine.
Yep.
Great, we'll get
See you later.
Else.
We're going to get Chico in. And that is a joke that...
That's a reference to something we were talking about before the show began.
Off air. Right, we're gonna put Matthew Crosby's iPod on shuffle now. Let's see what the first song is. Oh, Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, Jimmy Eat World. What a classic, Bleed American.
If you were with me tonight, I'd sing to you just one more time. A song for a heart so big, God wouldn't let it live. May angels lead you in. Hear you meet my friends. Let's go. May angels lead you in. May angels lead you in.
Jimmy Eat World, near you, me.
Not a dry eye. Not a dry eye in the studio.
In the country.
Yeah, so again, we were saying this.
Yeah.
Quite a relaxed song, quite a sort of chill out song for quite an upbeat album.
It is a dancey album.
You know, by the way, do stop me if I'm just being... Because this is... It's because I haven't really seen anyone this weekend.
Yes.
You're the first person I've seen. So I'm just going to keep dropping bits of meaningless trivia at you.
I think you know me well enough now to know that that is exactly why I got you on the show, Cosby.
So, originally the album was released, was called Bleed American.
Yes.
Then they changed the name.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No, and I've always... I didn't know they changed it. I always...
They retitled it the eponymous Jimmy Eat World. They just called it...
Yeah, because I was always just like... I don't know what that album's called because I had heard two different... Yeah.
But. And now it's back to being called Bleed American. Like, if you look it up on Spotify, it's called Bleed American. Weirdly, they thought it was post-9/11. It was a post-9/11 thing.
Right.
A bit like they took off on the re-release of Is This It? They took off New York City Cops.
Right, okay.
Because everyone loved the Cops so much. They thought maybe putting... You know, maybe invoking blood and America together might be a problematic song.
Jimmy Eat World
there. Jimmy Eat World there.
Thinking
very sensitive.
That they're emo fans... That is the one place you don't want to, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
The emo kids probably would kick off about.
I mean, they're on the verge of tears anyway.
Yeah.
So don't. Yeah.
No need to put that kind of imagery in their head.
I sort of got into a big emo phase. Big emo fan. Not the kind of like My Chemical Romance or the bands that are sort of described as emo.
Yeah.
Which I really can't.
But then,
I've got no time for.
So you were like me then, because like. We were like, we liked what we considered emo.
Yeah.
Jimmy Eat World and the Get Up Kids and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then when My Chemical Romance were like all over MTV and people were saying, this is emo, we were like, this is not emo.
No.
But
emo is not wearing long fingerless gloves that are purple and black striped.
Yeah.
And a bit of eye makeup. I used to go to gigs that were like local emo bands would play in Canterbury when I was at university. And it was genuinely, they were all about like... They would play songs, like, incredibly emotive, like weepy songs, and then they would pass the microphone around the room, and people could tell like sad stories.
Yeah,
it was incredible. They were incredible gigs. Also, like people would grab the microphone and go, "My mum is a smoker, and I'm really worried about her." And then pass the microphone. It was brilliant.
James Acaster
on FUBAR Radio.
My guest is Angela Barnes.
Hello!
Right, let's back onto my pod. Here we go, next song. Upside Down by Yola Tengo.
Ah, do you see, you are looking so cool. I can't, you are, and I can see you shuffling it, but I'm, yeah. You haven't got anything embarrassing on there,
oh,
have you?
Oh, I have, mate. Oh, I have. I was very lucky with that one. I mean, Yola Tengo is one of those ones that even people who don't like them have to go, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the indie credentials.
They are so cool. I saw them in a double bill with Calexico at Somerset House on a summer's evening in 2003, and it was beautiful.
What's Somerset House like?
Really nice as a venue. Have you ever been there at all?
No,
because it's like, I think it's an old Admiralty building or something. So it's basically this big square, which is surrounded by this, what looks like a stately home, basically, on the Strand. And so they put the stage at the back of it.
Yeah.
And so it's fairly big. And it's just a beautiful show. And on a summer's evening, when they do shows out there, it's just really hot and looks beautiful. And, and I've seen, who else? I saw Lamb Chop there as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, PJ Harvey, I think I saw there too.
Oh, that's
one year.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they still do that, because they used to do it every summer. They'd have, like, a programme of
music
gigs. I don't know if they still do it.
Oh, it'd be good if they did. I mean, a nice setting. I saw British Sea Power next to a river.
Once. Oh, nice. Should be next to the sea, though.
It should be next to the sea, really. But like, I think they were like, no. See with Bookham. No
I saw
beaches.
Them at Union Chapel.
Oh yeah, nice.
And they were playing with Daniel Johnston.
Oh
Daniel
wow! Johnston,
and they were his band. It was incredible.
Gosh,
I cried.
Yeah,
when he did
his
cover of "You Gotta Hide Your Love Away" the Beatles.
Yeah.
Absolute buckets of it was an incredible experience.
Yeah, I bet that was.
Yeah.
You were like the documentary about him?
It's
very good.
It's, I mean, I spent most of my working life working in mental health, so he's a really fascinating person.
Yes.
I think, and so empowered and so, but clearly so unwell. But just so fascinating. Those songs are so pure and beautiful.
There are bits in that documentary where it's just too ridiculous. By the end of the documentary, he's playing in a band with some teenagers, just playing with some local teenagers who are just like, in a band. And they say about how they met him. They were driving home and they saw a man getting attacked by a dog, and it was him. And they don't say anything else about the story.
What point did you go from come and play in our basement or whatever?
Getting attacked by a dog out of nowhere. And this guy doesn't ever get a break, just walking along and a dog attacks him.
Yeah.
Like, constant.
Yeah.
There's the story of the plane, isn't there, in that film, where he just takes the keys out of the plane ignition and throws them out the window of him and his dad in the plane. But they landed a tree or something. They're
I can't remember how that ended.
They landed the tree, and then on their way to like hospital, they go past a church where there's a big sign outside saying something like, "God doesn't ensure a pleasant journey, but he ensures a safe landing," or something like that.
My God.
Because they're a really Christian family.
They
really love that. So
wow.
That's good. I mean, it's a good job they went past that.
Yeah,
go past the wrong side. You go, lost my faith now.
Yeah, God doesn't care.
He's one of those people. I saw Whiplash recently.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm dying to see it.
Brilliant, really good.
Yeah,
but like so much of like, and it's not really a message to it. What's nice about it is that it lets you make your own mind up.
Yeah,
but so much of it is J.K. Simmons' character saying that you've got to be great, you've got to play technically perfect all the time, and then you think about people like Daniel Johnston and you go,
You can have soul without being technically.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so basic. The songs that he made, the little tapes he gave away, and
yes,
and they're so just raw and
yeah.
Like his song, my favourite song of his is Worried Shoes.
Yep.
Know, and
yeah,
you know, yeah. Karen O and the kids do a cover of it.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I heard that song, I remember it so vividly because it just was like, it's sort of almost nonsense lyrics, but it just it says everything it needs to say.
Yes.
That song, about where he was at the time, I just adore that song. That's my funeral song, that is.
I think that song, especially the Karen O version of that song, is the coolest song that could come up on your iPod in terms of indie credentials, because that's, Daniel Johnston wrote it, Karen O covers it, it's in a Spike Jonze film, and it's from the book Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
It's like, the whole thing is just, well, it's just like, you just ticked all the indie boxes.
I think it's
there.
On there. Fingers crossed. I'm crossing everything.
It's on mine as well. So there's twice the chance that it will come up. We've both got that on there. So, yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
It could come up. So let's go back onto your one.
Okay.
I'm quite hoping for, like, let's see, get an idea of the spectrum we've got on this iPod.
Okay.
But we'll see. Here we go. Press and play now. Well, Angela Barnes iPod.
Oh, no!
Gloria Estefan. Merry Christmas.
And I do anything for you. In spite of it all, I've learned so much from you. You made me strong. But don't you ever think that I don't love you. For 1 minute I forgot you. Sometimes things don't work out right, and you just have to say goodbye. I hope you find someone to please you. Someone who cares and never leave you. But if that someone ever hurts you, you just might need a friend to turn to.
Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
Anything for you. Anything for you except not humiliating you on your own iPod.
I am so mortified right now.
I am pretty happy with that.
I thought you might be. I mean, can I put a case for the defence?
Absolutely, mate. Go ahead.
I when I was probably 11 or 12, so late 80s.
Yeah.
I loved Gloria Estefan. Like, yeah. I just thought she was everything a woman should be. She was beautiful. She could sing. She was had that Latin-ness about her, and was just and I was obsessed with love songs. There was a period of about 2 years. Me and my friend Vicky Harris, Vicky, at school, and we would listen to like love song compilations.
Yes,
we would buy them on cassette and listen to. And I think it was that we were girls, like, you know, just sort of becoming women, and we were imagining falling in love and thought it was all about roses and cheese and like you did at that age. And Gloria Estefan just epitomised all of that for me. But she'd also have, you know, they'd have the upbeat stuff, the old Miami Sound Machine stuff, and you could dance to that. But then there'd be, you know, Anything For You or Don't Want To Lose You Now or Cuts Both Ways. Oh, God, and I used to cry over an imaginary man I hadn't lost, but that one day I would lose, you know. And so that's pure nostalgia, that
lovely,
that song.
Lovely old Gloria.
You know, have you, girl.
Have you, if it's not too personal question, you've been in love many times since? How many times have you been in love in your life?
Oh, my God, that is such a... I reckon 3 times.
Good going.
Yeah, I reckon
pretty,
3 times.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much more than that.
No, that's all right. Twice.
Do you reckon?
No, 3 times.
3 times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's some... There's one of those
credit where
three.
It's due, Catherine Maskell.
Well, there's one of those times, like now, I look back and go, what was I thinking? But I can't deny that at the time, I was in love, so it counts, doesn't it?
Yeah. You're thinking of Gloria Estefan lyrics, that was the
thing. I was, totally.
all about the love songs.
Oh, God.
I don't think there's any male equivalent. I didn't really have anyone who spoke about...
Glenn Medeiros. You're too young to remember Glenn Medeiros. I see producer Amanda's just going, oh, yeah.
Okay, now... I'm feeling quite relaxed going back into mine.
Yeah, funny that. Yeah,
yeah. I think I've got worse stuff than Gloria Estefan on my iPod, but I think I still feel okay. I'm in good company now. So let's see. What's the next one?
System of a Down.
That's one of those rare moments where a track just finishes straight away, so it goes straight onto
the next
track,
one.
Which I enjoy that on iPod Shuffle, to be honest.
It proves that you're actually shuffling.
Yeah, yeah, I like it when it does that. There's several moments there that was good fun listening to that with Angela. One was when he was singing "My Cock Is Much Bigger Than Yours," and she looked at me very shocked. And I went, yeah, that's what he's saying. Oh, okay, fine. And
I thought at first he said, "My dog is much bigger than yours." But, yeah, that's a bit of a boast.
You wouldn't put it past this mother down, to be fair, to say that. But yeah, that's the song they sing about. I think they're singing about people who think that,
yeah,
rather than them, I think. I might be giving them a bit too much credit. And another point was when you said to me, and this is the perfect thing to say to anyone who listens to this kind of music,
to
completely cramp their style. You said, I like the beat.
It's such an old lady thing to say.
It's got a good beat.
I'm turning into my mum.
Then instantly I was like, I don't listen to this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's been told it's got a good beat.
it doesn't matter. You know what I meant.
Go for it. I do know what you mean. To be honest, it does have a... I mean, that's...
It does have a... You know what I mean? It's an unusual rhythmic thing.
The reason why that hurts people to hear it is because that is exactly why they like it. And they don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they want to go, yeah, it's doing this, that and the other. But really, they love melody and rhythm.
And an interesting rhythm.
Yeah, they love tapping their toes just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
So especially, like, you know, kids with hoodies and stuff who listen to like Slipknot and stuff.
Last thing they want to hear.
They don't want to be told that, you know what, Slipknot, that's a really good melody that they got for that chorus. It's a really pretty vocal
lots
melody.
Lots of songs like that, I don't know what genre would you call System of a Down. I don't really.
It's another new metal.
New
kind
metal,
of
sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of them have really good pop, they're pop songs.
Yeah.
They're really good, well structured 3-minute.
Yes.
Pop songs and there's nothing. I remember I went through a real phase of being a snobby indie kid.
Yeah.
And I was a proper music snob, and I would buy Uncut magazine every week and only listen to the albums they recommended
every month,
you know. And was really. And then I realised actually there's nothing wrong with being a good pop song.
Yeah. Now we come to The Redeemer.
Oh God.
No, I'm going to call this track The Redeemer before we even play it.
Oh God, I'm so scared.
We had Estefan. I think this is gonna get you back in the good books. I've got a good feeling.
Right.
I've been doing this show. It's the fifth time now. We all get a good feeling on the iPods. I'm pretty sure that you're about to have an absolute cracker be played. So here we go. Let's forget anything for you. That never even happened. This is the real Angela Barnes right now. Here we go.
So nerve wracking. Oh, right. Get in.
There you go. Can't get caught. Dallas Sack versus Scroobius Pip.
What do you mean? Keep it looking. Someone please explain. When reality is just like interpreted by your brain. And this mind and your perceptions ain't one and the same. Which one of us is normal and which one is the same? The skin never forgets the deeper brain. The brain often forgets this conversation. This annoys me. You choose the nature of humanity. Wanna remember the good, not just the bad things that happen to me. Yet I understand the mind that is just a tapestry. So is the skin. The scar above my eyebrows from when I was a kid, and my skin has kept a record of the damage I did.
So away from chloroquine, and I'm all feeling like my hair is decaying. Wanna kick me in the
Just slowing down loads and loads at the end.
Nice. I like it.
It's doing the same thing.
I'm redeemed, right?
Absolutely. Ooh, redeemed. Also,
thank you, Scroobius Pip.
Also, quite a coincidence there, because we were talking about Oscar acceptance speeches and stuff like that. And
oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
That's got the line, Sean Penn could win 10 Oscars and he'd still be Spicoli.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you
nice.
Go.
James Acaster on
FUBAR Radio. Me and James Redmond are going to put our iPods on shuffle.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm very well, actually. Thanks. Yeah.
With that, we're going to move on to your next song from your iPod. Here we go. He's looking good.
Sounding all right, isn't it?
Coxon.
When I saw you, my life turned so
Graham Coxon, Tell It Like It Is, on FUBAR Radio. I'm here with James Redmond.
Hello.
That is from James's iPod. We've been putting the iPods on shuffle.
I mean, it's almost as if I've spent all of last night putting 14,000 cool tracks
yes.
onto my iPod and getting rid of all my real musical tastes.
Do you know what? If you'd done that, I wouldn't even have a problem with it, because that is so much time out of your own personal life. That
dedication.
It's not worth it, so, you know, I'll be okay with that. I sat in Graham Coxon's dressing room once, backstage at a festival. He hadn't arrived yet, and they were like, that tent's just for, it's like a yurt, just for Coxon. I was like, okay, and then I just sat there with my friend Joel, and then we were like, Coxon's going to be here in a minute, we better get out.
Should we nick stuff? What's his rider like?
It's a lot of fruit, quite healthy, that day it was. Anyway, I don't know if it was actually his rider, but just what they put in the dressing room. The Magic Numbers, they have Milky Way Magic Stars, and me and Joel at a different festival stole them. Mm. So that was fun. I'm going to go to a listener now. We get the listeners to send in their iTunes as well, and we can put them on shuffle. Today, we have got Stephen on the line. Stephen, are you there?
I'm there, yep.
Good to hear your voice, mate. Good to hear you.
You too.
How are you? You having a good day?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, you?
Yeah, do you know what? Pretty good. This week, my iTunes is making me look a reasonable, pretty cool dude, which last week it didn't.
The phrase didn't really help. I'm a pretty cool dude.
Reasonable pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
Well, even worse, isn't it? Even worse. James is probably looking cooler than me now, I'd say. He's got,
it's going well so far. I mean, it could go belly up at some
point. Stephen could beat both of us. I mean, so Stephen, do you think you've got pretty cool music taste, or...?
Yeah, I was glad with the four that I got, so...
Oh, no, it's four. Well, it might not be... It seems fierce, mate. You've only got two of those four that are going to come up, but if you're happy with all four of them, then you're okay, aren't you?
Yeah,
shuffled to begin with, then shuffled again. That's the way it is. Do you think your first track, whatever it may be, you don't know what it is yet, but do you think it's gonna beat him?
Yeah.
Oh,
cocky.
I've never heard such confidence so quickly, Stephen. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. This is the first song from Stephen's playlist. The keys to your heart, open the door to the world. You've got to give me 2 days, and woman, I'll make you a girl. Sometimes you've got to rewind to go forward. There's some good times around the corner, but have you fed the fish today? Badly Drawn Boy on FUBAR. Have You Fed the Fish? From Stephen's iPod there. Oh, really, tell you what. Oh, Badly Drawn Boy, really knows how to draw out an ending. Just as long as he can. Just, Stephen, you must be pretty happy with that. I mean, Badly Drawn Boy, especially from that album, that makes you look pretty good.
Yeah, if you take the vocals out, it could be cold music as well. So.
Oh, did you not like the the vocals? Was that?
Oh no, that was good. But I'm just saying, if you take the vocals out, it make good hold music.
Oh, good hold, good hold music. Yeah. Yes, it would. Yeah, that makes you feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
My account, actually isn't it? It's my old accountant who kept hold of my books when I changed accountant. He said, "No, you can't leave." He had Imagine by John Lennon, as we all know, as his hold music. And I said, "You might want to change that because it says Imagine all the people."
Yeah.
And he didn't get it. But that's accountants for you.
Yep.
On the whole.
They don't know.
Stephen, are you an accountant? No, you work in the bank.
In the bank?
Just checking out.
Have you fed the fish there, Badly Drawn Boy? You got any fish, mate?
No, I've got a cat, but that's different, obviously. He would eat my fish if I had one.
Have you fed the cat today?
Yes, at 5
fish?
O'clock.
Fish? Yeah. Did you feed it?
5 o'clock? Did you feed it fish, yeah?
Well, fish-flavoured cat food, if you will.
Oh, what flavour? Salmon? Bit of salmon?
Salmon, tuna. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, it was dark, so I just picked the first one out of the box, to be fair.
Right, we're going to go to the second song on Stephen's iPod now. That made you look pretty cool, mate, so let's see what the next one throws up. Crossing your fingers?
Yes, I think it can only get better from here, so I think
really?
That's the weakest one.
Do you think it's starting on the weakest one, then? Okay, mate, let's see. Here we go, Stephen's iPod, track two. Tiger Feet by Mud. That is the second song from our listener Stephen's playlist. Stephen, you said you thought it could only go up from Badly Drawn Boy. Sticking with that?
Yeah, it makes me look old, I think.
How old are you, Stephen, if you don't mind me asking?
31.
31, listen to Mud. Did you properly rock out to that at home, air guitar?
I was a bit of foot tapping, yeah.
Bit of foot tapping.
I always think it's because Mud were part of the glam rock explosion, weren't they? And I always felt a bit sorry. Well, not always. I wasn't born. I was born, but I always felt like, you know, because it's all about androgyny, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you know, making us all question our views on sexuality and stuff. And Bowie and Bolan both looked great in drag, didn't they? But the rest of the whole that age group had to go, oh man.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a record deal unless we dress up as birds.
Yep.
You know, and not all of them really suited the look.
Most of them didn't. Most of them couldn't quite carry it off as gorgeous boys.
That's it. I mean, you know, and that track there, it sounds quite sort of pubby, quite sort of, yeah, we're still blokes though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Lots of sort of clapping. Whee, isn't it?
Tigers are pretty masculine.
Yeah.
Not as masculine as a lion, I'm going to put that out there.
True. Who would win the fight? Who would win in the fight?
Between a lion and a tiger.
Tiger. Who would win in the fight?
Between a lion and a tiger. I think a lion would win, wouldn't it?
Tiger. Yeah, I think lioness would win because they're the tough ones.
The lions don't really do hunting.
Yeah, lions don't really do much until they have to.
Yeah. They sit around.
Yeah.
Also got manes can pull on that. That's a weakness.
Yeah, and they don't live in the jungle, do they? King of the jungle. They live in the, what's it called? Plains.
Yeah.
So that song was wrong.
Well, they're still the king. They just don't live there.
Yeah. Yeah, they've for tax reasons, they've moved.
The Queen doesn't live in a, you know, one-bedroom flat in Peckham. Well, thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks for calling in and for sharing your iTunes with us.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
See you later, mate. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Right, back to my iPod. Let's see, after Tiger Feet, if I can match up with Stephen. Here we go. Murder sonically, we bully shit bionically. Hold this shit down, it's a devious dichotomy. 8-bit, primitive, your future's so limited. You talk about your dreams, but with no means of getting it. This is 8-bit, we killing all the fake shits. Mercy Scream, motherfuckers come and hate this. Now this is 8-bit by Scream that's playing now. That's thought weird, because it's about a minute and a half left, but I thought we'd maybe talk over it a little bit, because it basically is like this for the whole song.
Yeah.
I've got no problem with that. But,
no. You sound more street and cool, and you've got a more sort of eclectic, you know, collection now. I'm worried now that I'm not going to have any dance music at all.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, here's James Redman's fantastic iPod. Let's see what's next.
Oh, no. Oh.
R.E.M., Beach Ball, on FUBAR, from the album Reveal. One of the albums, one of the later albums there, James.
Yeah. I mean, which doesn't sound as cool as having one of their early albums.
Fan of all their stuff, though?
I am. I mean, yeah. I mean, like most artists that manage to stay together for that long, you get the odd album that's not as strong. But they've always got one or two tracks, isn't
yeah.
it? Someone pointed out recently that The Cure, the way they write their albums is to have one poppy hit,
right,
one indie sort of shoegazer,
right,
and then the rest do what they like, and it's so true.
Yes, I think R.E.M. brilliant. I think every album they, because I think they had the rule that they would keep on doing it as long as they were enjoying it.
Yeah.
So they never did an album they didn't want to do. So every album was like.
And they were down to three in the end, weren't they?
Yeah, their drummer left to be a farmer.
Yeah, that's it. That's a slap in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, he's spending a lot.
I want to get up early in the morning and go and milk cows. I'm not having this.
Yeah, the road
this,
you
this
guys.
Millionaire rubbish.
Yeah. Getting amongst the manure. Mm. Like, elbow deep in the manure. But, like, yeah, he said to them he was spending a lot of time on his tractor thinking about things, and it's time he moved on. So they got a drum machine for their next album.
That's right.
Up, which I'd recommend Up to a lot of people.
Yeah,
actually,
it's a good album, that.
I think it's a overlooked one.
Mm.
But that's a very good album.
Yeah, I mean, it's on my iPod.
You got that online as well?
Yes.
Twice the chance of coming up.
There you go.
At any point, that album. Anyway, back to my iPod. Let's see if this is a song that will make me look all right.
Oh yeah, J5. And not the Jackson 5.
No, no way.
And what we're about to do and show you is how we get along. We get along with eye contact. We also get along by listening to one another. Not only that, but we also get along because of rhythms that we've learned during the course of the years. But above all, there is harmony, because we got to listen to one another. It's all about a feel, but it's a positive attitude to make it work. And what we're about to show you today is five different versions of feeling good. Yeah.
People,
That is Jurassic 5, How We Get Along. Basically, what my iPod did there is it threw up an interlude from a rap album. That's what happens there. I mean, no one
it
would...
It can happen.
I'm guessing that song's never been played on a radio station before.
Yeah, I guess you're right, probably.
But I shared a chalet with Akil from Jurassic 5 for
did
a week
really?
In the Alps.
This is great.
Again, me and my friend Joel. But we were doing gigs out there, comedians doing gigs, and the promoter was also putting on Akil doing some gigs and just put us all up in the same chalet, chatting to him for a week. Good guys. James Acaster on Fubar Radio.